House Committee on Consumer Protection for the Oregon State Legislature. It is Monday, February 19th, 2007. Today we're going to be having a public hearing on House Bill 2570. And I don't know if we have committee bills to introduce today, Steve? No, so there will be no work session for introduction of committee bills today. So with that, I would like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2570. Judging from the crowd, there's a few to testify today.
I can't get through with all of them.
So I understand we have a representative from Representative Buckley's office. If you would come forward and give us an overview of the bill right after Steve gives us his overview. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2570 prohibits the use of a person's facsimile machine without the person's actual or implied consent if use causes expense to the person related to the use of the facsimile machine, except under certain circumstances.
Thank you. And if you'd introduce yourself for the record.
All right. Chair Holvey, members of the committee, my name is Andrew Ainsworth, and I'm here on behalf of Representative Peter Buckley, who is busy currently chairing the House Education Committee. There's a few folks up here that are having a little rally today. First off, I would like to thank you for considering House Bill 2570, which is our legislation concerning fax advertisements. It would prohibit them. The main goal of this legislation is basically to prevent unwanted advertisements from coming over the fax machine while honoring the free speech requirements of our Constitution. The idea was initially proposed to us by a constituent, but I think if any of you have spent time in your campaign offices, I know I've spent time in campaign offices, it's a major issue. Unwanted fax advertisements pose a financial burden to the individuals receiving those ads by wasting electricity, ink, or toner, depending on the fax machine, and especially paper. And at the same time, fax ads can also be a nuisance by tying up fax machines and phone lines if your fax machine is on your primary phone line while receiving these fax advertisements. And it can also create unwanted noise late at night or early in the morning, especially since a lot of these advertisements come from companies that aren't here in Oregon, but perhaps on the East Coast or Midwest. I know that Representative Buckley has taken a personal interest in this bill, primarily because he and his family have been personally affected by the nuisance of unwanted fax ads. His fax machine in his office down at home is in between his son's rooms, and early morning fax ads have definitely disturbed their sleep on multiple occasions. And so while he has repeatedly asked the companies to cease sending their ads, his requests have not yet been successful. So we were pleasantly surprised when our constituent came to us with this issue. Should you have any questions, I can attempt to answer them for you. If not, I will take them down, bring them to your Representative Buckley, and then try to get back to you as soon as possible.
Questions from the committee. Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you, and thank Representative Buckley for bringing this bill, and I am really mad about this subject. It's not campaign materials, it's mortgage companies, and I know exactly what he's talking about, all hours of the night and day, and it's wrong. I mean, that's a personal business fax I have, and I don't even know how on earth they ever got the number, which I wish we could find out how they do. I mean, if Representative Buckley can send out an investigator, I'd like him to tell us that. And secondly, I'm wondering, like, DMV, when I first came to the legislature in 2001, was selling our names for $800 a list to any group that wanted them. And over the years, we kind of worked that out. So now you have a what they call opt-on, if you want on their list to be given out. But for we all, the rest of us, put that block on our phones, I'm wondering why that could not be put on our fax lines, too. Would you know that answer?
I'm sorry, I do not.
There's a block you can put, like,
Oh, the no call list? All right.
And I'm wondering why we can't include our fax number with that. I mean, by just adding on to the bill?
Should just be able to put the phone number on there. They don't ask you whether it's a fax or a... You should just be able to put the number on the list.
So you think we can?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That might be something we could add to this, that we could be on a no-call.
Yes. All right, yeah.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Gerard.
The question I would have is a lot of faxes originate out of state.
Right.
And this, I don't think we'd address that problem. I mean, it would be in violation here, but it isn't something that would help there. So I'll probably be one to actually expand on the bill a little bit.
Further questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Mills.
I'm if I could address Mr. Riley, Mr. Representative Riley over here about this, because does that no-call list only relate to in-state?
No, it's federal.
Well, I don't know that. Now back over to this side.
I'll have to just call and put the number on.
Thank you.
Well, so... If that would be the case, then...
Can you follow up, Representative Gerard?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair.
He's trying to get ordered this court.
Oh, well, it's not Friday, is it? if that would be the case, it would then ask Representative Riley, then what would be the need for the bill, then, if that...
Mr. Chair, Representative Gerard. you know... I don't know if there is a real need for the bill if you actually do put call and get this on the no-call list. My understanding, however, is that the no-call list stops any phone solicitations, any calls for business reasons, and I'm assuming that faxes would be the same, but I don't know the real answer to that. I know you can put the number on a no-call list. Whether it will stop faxes, I don't know.
Thank you. I'm going to ask a question myself, too. You know, assuming that this is a needed bill and assuming that we can legally implement something like this, how would we propose to enforce this bill? I don't see any provisions for violation or penalties in this bill, and also wondering how you would inform people that are sending faxes that it happens to be against the law unless they have permission.
Well, yes, I read through the bill this afternoon myself, and I as well did not see any provisions for enforcement, but I will definitely ask Representative Buckley about that.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Nelson.
I'm going to address Representative Riley. Maybe he knows.
I don't know the answer.
I'm just kidding. Sorry.
This will be a short time. Maybe you can address him afterwards.
I really need to talk to Mr. Ainsworth. Thank you. I was just kidding on that one. Yes. Thank you for coming, Andrew. Mm-hmm. Could you ask... where in this, I don't know, is it interstate commerce? I don't know what this is, but it would appear to me that, for example, on my computer, I'm on what's called diesel, which comes through a phone line. So if we could put a block on a phone, a block on, if we can, on a fax, why can't I put a block then on my computer so I don't get all this junk mail on my computer through a phone line? I'm just interested in this whole thing now because I think he's really hit on something.
All right.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gilliam.
Thank you. I appreciate Mr. Ainsworth being here, but in light of his lack of knowledge on this, could I suggest that Representative Nelson just fax some questions over to Representative Buckley?
Mr. Chair.
Any further questions from the committee? Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was myself curious about the enforcement, and it looks like it's part of the trade regulation and practices, part of the statute. So enforcement would, I assume, be by the Attorney General's office with no private right of action. So we should check on that.
All
just to make sure that there's some, if we're going to pass this, we should make sure it has an enforcement mechanism. And
all right.
That's the way I see it, but I could be wrong.
So what you're saying, it would be enforced under ORS 6 of RD6, just generally?
Attorney General. Because it's with several miscellaneous trade practices provisions.
It's trade practice, but not necessarily telecommunications, correct?
Well, it's under follow-up.
Follow-up, please.
Thank you. It is under the trade regulation and practices part of the ORS, but separate from the unlawful trade practices, which provides a private right of action. This is seems to be enumerated as one of the trade practices enforced by the Attorney General.
Thank you. So further questions from the committee?
Madam Chair, I mean,
it's Monday, huh?
I am so sorry. I know you're not supposed to be happy here at the legislature, so I will stop it.
Do you want to ask a question?
I did. I wanted Ms. Chair would ask it of
Representative Nelson.
Yes. I want to ask. The good lawyer, Representative Bonamici, is the no-call list then disciplined by the Attorney General's office?
Representative Nelson, that's the no-call list is run by, it's part of the Federal Trade Commission's federal regulation, consumer protection regulation.
Do you have something you want to add, Steve?
Yes. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. The current no-call regulations are enforced by the federal government, but there will be a bill coming before this committee that the Attorney General has, which will reestablish a state enforcement of no-call, which provides some additional protections and enforcement.
Further questions from the committee of Mr. Ainsworth? I think we've got the gist of it. Thank you very much for introducing this. And we'll lay our questions back to Representative Buckley, and he can contact myself or Steve for a follow-up on that. All right. At this time, I'd like to call up Duke Shepherd.
Chair Holvey, members of the committee, Duke Shepherd from the Oregon AFL-CIO. I apologize, I don't have written testimony today. I always try to, but I hadn't planned to testify, and this bill just kind of caught my eye. And what caught my eye was not having to do with advertisements, but with our fax recently being purposely jammed for a few hours until we unplugged it. We, like most advocacy groups, encourage our members to contact their legislators, their members of Congress, their senators about issues on a frequent basis via phone, via letter. And a few weeks ago, we had a lot of members making a lot of calls, all live people, all real voters, real citizens. And how this intersects with this bill is that, as I said, after many of our members have been contacting their elected officials, we started receiving a fax on February 8th that went for 2 hours until we unplugged it, and it seemed like this bill might address that, not just advertising, but taking the use of an organization or person's fax from them very purposefully. So I wanted to come down and share that experience with you. I have copies. I didn't intend to distribute them. I've been duly deputized by Lori Wimmer Whalen of OEA to share that they had the exact same facts sent to them on the exact same day. So that's what attracted me to the bill today. Thank you. If you have any questions, be happy to try to answer them.
Questions of Mr. Shepherd by the committee? Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one quick one. Did this fax appear to be a computer-generated fax, or was it Do you think it was? I don't know if you can.
Mr. Chair, Representative Riley, I can't say for sure. I can tell you it's at the top. It says February 8th, 2007, 10:40 a.m. Oregon State Legislature 503-986-1612. It was we had a staff person contact the clerk's office, and it's our understanding that it's a group accessible fax on the fourth floor in the House. So it could have been any number of folks. You know, we can't. We couldn't dust or anything, but.
Never heard of it.
Further questions from the committee of Mr. Shepherd? Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Shepherd. Next up, Jessica Adamson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Jessica Adamson here today on behalf of the Associated General Contractors. We are a trade association, and like many trade associations, we contact our members in a variety of ways, including faxes. And following similar legislation at the federal level, there were a variety of questions about whether we could actually use our fax capability to contact our members. And in reading this bill, while we believe that there may be a mechanism under either express operation or as an associate, we would be concerned that there may be questions about that and that it wouldn't be very clear that we have a legitimate business reason for contacting our members. We aren't in the business of spamming them. But we, like many others, would like the ability to continue to do that without having to go through one of these steps. And so we would respectfully request that should this bill move forward, that one of the reasons, the express reasons that we could do this would be under subsection 3 to add a line simply saying that they are a member of a bona fide trade association. And therefore, you know, then we don't have to have this question about whether we can contact them or not. Clearly, if they agree to become a member of a trade association, they're paying a fee to be a member of that association. They've decided that they want to hear from us. So this would just make life a little bit easier for those of us in the trade association business.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Nelson?
Yes, thank you. How about, Jessica, how about an opt-on list? Why don't y'all just carry that and let all the contractors, you know, opt to be on your list, and then we don't have to change this bill. Would that work?
Chair Nelson, Chair Holy, Representative Nelson. I'm sorry.
Right in the spirit of the committee.
Right. It's something in the air.
Goodness. I think the concern that we would have about an opt-on system is that then we would have to have them likely sign another piece of paper at the time that they join the association, or for those that already are members, to rejoin. And my association has 1,100 members, and that's a lot to manage. For those that have, you know, 50 or 100, it's a little easier, but there are associations in the state with many, many more members than my own. And I would suggest that that would be a very difficult challenge for a trade association to try and get uniformity across those folks. And there are a lot of members that, quite frankly, I mean, we've got businesses that are two or three operations. They, you know, get a piece of paper saying, seriously, if you don't fill this out, we can't fax you the information that you've asked for anymore. They set it aside because it isn't mission critical to them at the moment until they stop getting the information that they need or information that we request from them. And so that would be our concern with the opt-on system, is that they wouldn't understand the implications of them not signing that piece of paper until it would be too late for them.
Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to clarify the record that I agree with Ms. Adamson's need for clarity in this. I would interpret the existing implied consent to include members of a trade association under the C section, where it says employee, contractor, agent, or associate. But I wouldn't object to an amendment if you to specifically include trade associations, because I think what this is targeted at is unwanted advertisements, not useful information. I think it's more of the commercial sort of advertising speech that this aims to address.
Thank you. And I kind of felt the same way, although it could be made a little clearer that if you belong to an organization and they send you a fax, that there's probably an implied consent since you're a member there. But it could be a little clearer, I'm sure. Further questions of Ms. Adamson? Thank you very much for your testimony and raising that concern. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify on House Bill 2570? Further comments from the committee? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2570. And bring to a close the House Committee on Consumer Protection.